Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Libraries Podcast, where we talk to you from our new podcast studio about a book we'd like to recommend.
It is so good to be back. And Carrie is joining us to talk about a book that was about the office, which we know, while everybody was kind of staying indoors and staying at home, was one of the top streamed series.
So people are back into it.
Yes.
And now we're back at the office. Oh. So it's called The Office, The History of the Greatest Sitcom of the 2000s by Andy Green. And so it's an oral history. It has interviews with everybody who was in The Office.
Oh, that's cool.
And also like network executives, mm-hmm. critics who were fans at the time of the original run. And it's just a really interesting kind of behind the scenes look, retrospective at all the things that went into it, and kind of also the cultural milieu of that time.
Yes.
Which is easy to forget. Yeah, it's funny. So it's really easy to forget because of how popular The Office is now, like on Netflix. It was not at all guaranteed to succeed when it first came on the air. And it was kind of the latest in a long line of transitioned British sitcoms mm-hmm.
yes.
that had failed. Like Coupling had just been on the air to like Critical Disaster and just a whole bunch of other stuff. And so even though it doesn't seem like it, it wasn't inevitable that it would have
taken off like
the
it
position.
Did.
Yeah.
Were you ever able to watch the British series that it spun off of?
Yes, I did watch it, and it was too mean. For me.
It was too mean? Really?
It made me too uncomfortable, yeah.
Interesting.
Very British.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched the American version like about 1,000 times, probably.
Same.
And unlike some people. I'm just kidding.
I didn't come here on my own podcast to be attacked.
So the Michael Scott character in the British Office is named David Brent, played by Ricky Gervais, who like co-created the series. And yeah, he's just too mean.
Yeah.
And you can see kind of traces of that in the first season.
Yeah.
Where the Michael Scott boss character is just like a little bit too aggressive, a little bit too offensive, with like nothing really to redeem him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they talk a lot about how that character evolves, particularly as a linchpin to like make the series work.
Interesting. Did the book kind of go, like, follow a chronology of the series, then?
Yes. So, okay. So it kind of starts talking about, like, the casting and production and, oh, man, Bob Odenkirk was up for the role of Michael Scott also from Better Call Saul.
Interesting.
He was, like, one of the finalists along with Steve Carell. It talks about translating the series for an American audience, how that was going to work. And then the way the book is structured is it'll go season by season.
Okay.
And highlight three key episodes from that particular season. And then it also has chapters that are focused on individual characters or individual aspects of this show. So one of the ones early on in the book is about the character Dwight, who's kind of like the sycophantic,
like anxiety riddled,
sycophantic, like yes man, I
guess.
Yes. Toady, if you will. But what's really funny is, not funny, haha, but interesting, I guess, is the way that character kind of evolved. They just kept piling on different weird quirks onto this character, but Rainn Wilson, the actor, was so like, invested and so, like, I don't know, charismatic, I guess.
Interesting.
That it just worked. But when you really think about that character, like, and you describe it, it's like a cartoon. It seems like it shouldn't work. Like, he's an Amish beet farmer who loves Battlestar Galactica, also fast cars, with a family history of, like, Nazism.
Yes, and don't forget agro-tourism.
And agro-tourism. So it's, like, it's pretty weird.
Did it go into, at all, the Scranton Strangler?
Oh, you know what? It's probably in the later part of the book.
Oh,
I have a
okay.
lot of theories about the Scranton Strangler.
What is your theory?
I always thought it was Toby. I totally thought it was going to be revealed to be Toby.
I thought for the longest time it was going to be Creed, but I think the evidence
yeah.
is more pointed toward Toby.
Oh, and there's another chapter about Creed. Bratton.
Was that one interesting? Because he is such an eccentric, strange character.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. You know, so that actor, his name is Creed Bratton.
Really?
And he was a singer for this band in the 60s called The Grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
So the way they described it is that they kind of took him and, like, turned down his intelligence by 30% and ramped up his wackiness by 50%, but it's just basically him.
Interesting.
Like, and his life experiences with, like, the references to, like, cults and various substances. That's just his
nice.
Life. Yeah.
Were there any... So who was probably one of your favorite characters from the series? It's hard to pick one out because they all kind of work well together.
Yeah. Oh, that's really hard.
Or was there one that you particularly enjoyed learning about in the book?
Yeah, the chapter about Dwight was, like, just really interesting because of the way the character was developed. I liked Michael Scott, too, and he had a chapter as well, which was, well, obviously, I mean, he's the star of the show.
Right.
And it was interesting because he, you know, he's virtually unknown. He's the most famous person on the cast at that point, and he had just come from The Daily Show. Oh, but the thing that really launched The Office into success is the 40-Year-Old Virgin movie came out at the premiere of the second season. So it was kind of, like, renewed as a miracle because there was one network executive who was, like, fully invested and on board and believed in the show. And then once the 40-Year-Old Virgin came out, and it was situated right after another really popular sitcom at the time, and I don't remember which one, and then that led to the series becoming kind of like a critical darling, acclaimed hit. The other thing that was really interesting is I had forgotten, but this was, like, also right at the time reality shows became popular, like Survivor was, like, the cultural zeitgeist, and it was, like, the second season of The Apprentice or something.
Yeah, so people were really used to that, like, form of camera work and television. And
they hired directors of photography, I guess, who were from reality television to
film makes sense.
To use that kind of style to film it.
Interesting.
Which, like, if you've seen the British one, it's, like, very stylistically different than the American one.
Do you hear very much from the writers of the show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they are.
Which I know BJ Novak is a character and he was a writer.
Yeah.
Wasn't the guy that played Moe's also
a
writer?
Yeah, he was one of the, like, executive producers, Michael Schur.
Okay.
Yeah. Who else? Bindi Kaling, who plays Kelly Kapoor, and Paul Lieberstein, who plays Toby. Was, like, a major writer for the whole time.
Interesting. It's kind of cool how they're, like, pulling in, like, their talent for extra roles and stuff.
Yeah.
Although I don't think Toby wasn't originally supposed to have a very big role, was he?
No, he wasn't. And I think just the way he played the character and kind of the flat affect, which is apparently, like, very different than the writer himself.
Interesting.
Was what sold them on him. Yeah, a lot of the cast started behind the scenes, like. Phyllis was originally an assistant to the casting director.
Okay.
And the casting director was like, hey, you might be good for this role. Can you read for it? And then she did. And then they cast her as, like, a background, quote unquote, background character in the first season.
That's kind of cool. I like learning that.
Yeah. And then it just grew. And you can kind of see how it grows where, like, one character will have one line. And then they'll have two lines, three lines. And then... You know, by the seventh or eighth season, these people that started off in the background are, like, the pivotal characters the show revolves around.
Mm-hmm. It feels like one of those passion projects that you work on where it's very, not insular in a bad way, but it feels like this kind of, like, frantic energy that's only, like, held in the space of the people who understand what's happening at the moment. So they're all very invested, and then so they want to bring other people in. Because it does, like, it feels like that's very weird for television shows to just be like, hey, you, assistant PA, get in here.
Yeah, it is kind of like a unique, like, soup that they created.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, they did, like, really interesting things with the production. Like, they didn't film on a stage. They filmed in a real office park.
Okay.
Which, like, happened to be one of the directors of, like, J.J. Abrams directed an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked in, he's like, something's so familiar about this set. And then he realized that it was his office when he was, like, creating the show Alias.
Wow.
He was like, oh, I used to sit there. That's crazy. And they filmed, the way they filmed it, they had everybody come in at 8 a.m. and just sit there in the office the whole time. Especially for the first and second seasons, they didn't have trailers. Mm-hmm. So they're literally just sitting at their desk doing paperwork for like 8 hours.
Oh my
gosh.
And filmed
the whole time.
No wonder why it kind of has that weird goof-off vibe.
Yeah.
Like we're stuck here doing something mindless.
Yeah.
Let's waste some time.
Where it really does feel like someone's just peeking over their cubicle like, hello?
Yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, oh, I called my agent. I was talking about like different roles. And then at some point, one of them was like, we should actually try and sell paper. They did all this like background work by actually going to a paper company that was outside of Los Angeles.
Okay.
And they like took all these pictures, and the book has all these pictures of this office that inspired, you know, not just the setting but even the wardrobe choices. Oh, there's so many interesting parts of this book. There's interviews with the costume director, which I never thought about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But one of the things she says is that it was hard for her because the way she was trained is that you're supposed to make every frame look like a painting in terms of the color composition.
Mm-hmm.
But all these people, you know, most of them were just wearing like white shirts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She didn't know how to do her job. She had to like adjust the way she did her job.
And also, if you want to make it seem like reality, like they're not all going to be wearing like their fuchsia shirts with their like charcoal blazers. Like.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, you've got Dwight who basically wears the same outfit every day for the
and
entire
that,
series.
That outfit is from that scouting at that paper company outside of Los Angeles.
Oh, they found, they're like,
they
great
saw
summoning.
Someone wearing that. And they were like, oh, that's Dwight.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Did they talk about the warehouse workers at all or any of that dynamic?
No, I haven't gotten to that part yet. I bet it'll come later. I'm only up to like the fourth season, quote unquote.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the book. The fourth season of the book. That's what it's called. The sections of the book, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Books are always divided into seasons.
Did you get any fun background information about specific episodes?
Yes.
Ooh. I know one of my favorite episodes occurs later, so I think it's after season 4. It's the awkward house party with Jan and Michael.
Oh, that is season 4, but
that
I haven't gotten
four?
To
okay.
that. Oh, man.
That one is so amazingly
it's
awkward.
It's so, so bad. No, I can't think of any particular episodes.
Was there
except
any,
they
like...
did film, they had a lot of problems getting the rights to film it. To use Chili's as their filming
I
location in the
about
second
that,
season.
Whenever he would hold the Dundies and stuff.
Yeah, and originally, like, you know, in one of the scenes, Pam, the secretary character, was supposed to, like, get too drunk and throw up in the bar. And Chili's was like, you can't do that in a Chili's! Are you
this
crazy?
This is a family restaurant!
So they had to rewrite it so that, you know, like, the manager of the Chili's, like, cut her off and kicked her out because she was behaving too wildly for a Chili's atmosphere.
That's awesome. Who knew Chili's was the Disney of restaurants?
That is the episode The Dundies, I think, from
yes.
season 2. Oh, and then another episode they talk about is that's kind of pivotal is the one where it's from the second season where Michael and Jan Office Olympics.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Is that Office Olympics where they go to the Chili's and they like Michael lands the big sale?
I don't remember the title of that one, but I know exactly which one you're talking
right?
about.
Right, and he kisses Jan or whatever.
Yes.
So, and that's really important in the scope of the series because it's like the first time Michael is like really demonstrated to actually be competent once in a while.
Yes.
And give some kind of explanation for how he has attained
his
career.
Well, which is funny that you mentioned that because I tried The Office like years ago and I've watched like one or two episodes and I was like, how do these people have jobs? Like, I can't fathom how like the boss has managed to maintain like any semblance of a career. And then recently I finally gave it a try like last year for real and got hooked thanks to my partner really insisted that I give it another shot. And then I finally saw what he was talking about, but it was because you kind of had to sit with it for a while and just let the characters like grow on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's why I've never gotten into it.
Yeah, I mean, if you just started The Office, or if you are interested in watching The Office, which, like, you listen to this whole podcast episode and
you
never watched
it yet,
kudos to you. You're a super fan. But, you know, for someone who is just trying to get into The Office, I would definitely start with the second season, not the first.
Okay.
And then you can go back and watch the first season.
Yeah, because the first season, they really, really ramp up the cringe. It's uncomfortable sometimes.
It's extremely uncomfortable, although there are some very classic jokes like spontaneous dental hydroplosion.
Yes.
There's an episode where they're making up healthcare conditions to, like, mess with the Dwight character, one of which is spontaneous dental hydroplosion.
Sounds serious. Worse than a root canal. It's also been interesting to see, like, which actors from that series have gone on to do other stuff.
Because mm-hmm.
I know, like, the guy that plays Jim has gotten pretty famous. Like, he's in high demand now.
A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Oh. And also A Quiet Place 2. Even quieter. No, that's
more quieter than before. The Krasinski.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Krasinski. He's also in some Jack Ryan show, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes. I haven't watched that one yet either.
I have heard good things about it. I have not watched it myself, but if The Office isn't your style, give that one a try.
What's his name? Steve Carell.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Did pretty well.
Stardom.
Yeah.
Very serious roles now.
Mindy Kaling is directing and starring in many things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think hasn't Rainn Wilson been in some other stuff, right?
Oh, he definitely has been, but I can't really think of anything.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? He was in this really great podcast called It's a Fiction Podcast. It's really creepy. Rental Rewind, maybe? Anyway, the concept of the podcast is that he's, like, the manager of, like, the last VHS video store in existence. And he, like, pops in creepy tapes.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
You listen to the stories from the tape. It's really weird. Anyway.
No, that sounds amazing.
He's the radio rental.
He's the person who has the last copy of The Ring, like, on VHS.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I found this weird VHS.
Essentially, it's one of the weirdest podcasts I've ever listened to, but it's really good. It is creepy.
Well, since we have spent, like, this whole time talking about a TV series, were there any other
A book about a TV series.
Were there any other TV series that you enjoyed checking out while we were all facing the stay-at-home order?
Yeah, I watched The Americans, watched Breaking Bad, rewatched.
Yeah.
Hey, but no, it was shame like that. The first time because it was a long time since I watched it, so.
Yeah, I feel like I've forgotten a lot of Breaking Bad since it happened.
I watched Why Women Kill on CBS.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
It was great. It stars Jennifer Goodwin and Lucy Liu, and it's about three women across the decades who happen to live in the same house and at the same time, obviously. One is in the early 60s, one is in the middle 80s, and then one is in 2019. So one of my favorite things is that they live in the same house, so the actual set is the same, but they change it with the decades. So,
oh,
like, the
cool.
80s is, like, very purple. Hmm. Like, there's a lot of, like, it's a fancy house. So, like, the set design and the costume design for these three different, like, time periods is such, like, a really cool thing because they're in the same place, but it's does not at all look like the same place.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. Very good show. Only one season. There is murder. Warning.
Wait, but do you find out why women kill?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's great. The whole time they tease you with it because you're like, who did they kill? We don't even know. Like, because all it starts with is you know they did kill somebody, but you have to live through their life over the next, like, few weeks to figure out who it was.
Well,
maybe
cool.
months. But yeah, very good. Very good show.
Cool.
I've just been binging Community.
That's fair.
That was my name.
Oh, yeah.
I started Community for the first time. I know, I didn't watch Breaking Bad, Community, Office. Anything that was really long and also really popular, I was just like, too much work.
You don't have your fingers on the pulse
of anything, no. No. Oops.
Yeah, I watched Community when it was on originally, but I haven't watched it since.
It's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know about it until all this happened, so.
Yeah, I had heard about it, and then people started talking even more about it recently, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll watch it. Force
and
my hand.
I watched The Good Place.
Oh, that's a good one.
Which is from, full circle, Michael Schur. One of the co-creators or whatever,
very cool,
of The Office.
That is also one that I would recommend. That's a good one.
Okay, was there anything else you wanted to bring up about the book?
I think that's it.
All right, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye!